Well, we're in the book of Judges, and we're going to begin chapter 10. And as you'll recall in chapter 9, Abimelech, trouble. Can't go through all that for you. It's way too long of a chapter. But if you haven't read it, read through it. So much to learn from this book. And of course, you recall, this is Old Testament. Old Testament is often overlooked. And this book especially is overlooked in the Old Testament. This book seems to be one of those that people think there's nothing in there. Oh my goodness. Abimelech died. He was killed. Remember, a lady dropped a big stone on his head. Verse 56 said, "That's the way God remembered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brothers, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal." That's how chapter 9 ends. He died. He was a wicked ruler. He was not put there by God. Sure, God allowed him, but he was not put there by God. And so there he is. He dies. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel, chapter 10, verse 1, Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo. Yeah, I know. A man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. Now, if you had a grandfather named Dodo, you'd hide the mountains as well, I suppose. Just teasing. He judged Israel 23 years, and he died and was buried in Shamir. We don't know anything about him, but he judged Israel 23 years. So the one thing I can say about him that the Bible says is he was there for a while. That's all we know about him, 23 years. And after him rose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. So now we've just gone through 23 years and 22 years for a total of well over 40. Notice? See how quickly we can cover time in Scripture? Remember, this book of Judges covers about 350 years of time. Now, you read it in just a few short chapters, but all kinds of things are going on for years and years and years. And he had, this guy, Jair, had 30 sons that rode on 30 donkeys. That was the cool ride of that time. And they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair, unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. All this is telling us is Jair was judge for 22 years, and it looks like it's saying here that although he was the man, his sons were sort of like under judges, under sheriffs, over 30 cities, and they kind of helped him out. And Jair died and was buried in Kamah. See how quickly we're going through time. Now, you don't know anything about them. We do not know much else. We know he's 30 sons, they had 30 donkeys, therefore they were riding on the super patrol cars of their day for the cops, for the judges. And when he died, Jair died, notice that verse 5 says, verse 6, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." This is the sixth time you have seen that. They're not going to learn, although they'll learn, they'll continue on. You and I are just like them, so we shouldn't condemn them. Each time we have an opportunity to do right, chances are good, we do just the opposite of right. We do evil in the sight of the Lord. And does He leave us? No. But you're going to see something here that is a powerful message. It says something to me that, even though I knew it, I haven't seen it before in the book of Judges. I'll show you what I mean. "The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines and forsook the Lord and served Him not." They give us this long list of all kinds of gods. You know, these guys, when they disobey God, they can't just pick one. And so it is with this nation we live in. And especially on a night like tonight, who gets worshiped? Oh my goodness. We were out this morning and this pretty little girl comes in dressed like a witch. Complete costume and has black lipstick on. And I said to the guys, you know, if we called her a witch on a normal day, her mother would beat us up. That little witch. But it's okay today. And witchcraft worships Satan. Now, witches say they don't. Of course they don't. We know they do. But they don't even believe in a Satan. The god Baal. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim and Ashtaroth and the gods. Baal. We worship him today if we're not careful. Every day. As a matter of fact, the church is making him the main god. See, the god Baal or Baalim is the god of the intellect. And we worship him. And he's becoming more prominent and more prominent in our society. And we know it. It's just that nobody talks about it. You know, there's just some things you don't bring up because you might offend. Now, Ashtaroth, everybody remembers Ashtaroth, the goddess of sensuality. Sexuality. So you do the fertility rites, the prostitution. For Baal, the god of the intellect, you sacrifice children. And of course, you take a look at us today. And the children of God in America did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they worshipped the god of intellect. And they intellectually reason, this is okay. And so they put bumper stickers in their car saying, I'm for this. This is okay. Hey, it's against God's command. It doesn't matter. I'm pro this. See, intellectually it makes sense to me. I worship the god Baal. But not just the god Baal, Ashtaroth. So you got the goddess of sensuality. You can do anything you want. Because if you happen to get pregnant or if you happen to whatever, it can be taken care of. Because there's a whole other god you can worship and sacrifice to. The gods of Moab, the Bible says. That would be Chemosh. He's the head god of the Moabites. Of course, in their worship involved child sacrifice, fertility rites, and temple prostitution. The Moabites. The children of Ammon. It says they worship the gods of the children of Ammon. Molech. That's the one that they would make out of brass or iron or some sort of metal and heat him up until he was glowing and then put the babies on his arms and they would fry. So that they would have a good crop this year, or that they could be fertile, or that they could be. The gods of the Philistines. Main god of the Philistine is called Baal-zebub. You hear about him and that word used in the New Testament in Matthew. But there was another god. He was right up there along with Baal-zebub. His name was Dagon. Remember him? Half man, half fish. The Mer people. And we bring all that into the 1990s and we see it. We just don't think about them with those names, do we? But the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and they worshipped the god of the intellect, the goddess of sensuality, gods that were worshipped and involved child sacrifice, fertility rites, temple prostitution, half man, half fish type things. And look. And the anger, verse 7, of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he sold them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. God sold them. It's almost like he's saying, that's it. You take them. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. The children were vexed. That means they had to pay tribute. They had to do what the laws required of them, even though the laws went against God. They were put down. They weren't really free any longer. They were slaves. And if you can look for a corollary, then look in America and see the gods we worship and see what condition we are in. I've been reading in the news. A place in New York where that young man has had sex with all those girls, some as young as 13 and 14, and now they all came up AIDS, HIV positive. And you know what the complaint is? Not that those girls are having sex with him, which should be the complaint. Someone should send them to their room and not let them out until they're 96. But instead, the complaint is, he didn't tell them he had AIDS. Oh, well, let's just break every law God has written, but I just want you to know I got a cold. Well, thanks for telling me. The complaint isn't, we are disobeying the Lord our God. The complaint is, well, shouldn't he at least tell them he's sick? I think if he's asking them to fool around, that shows you he's sick right there. The girls didn't catch on because they're sick too. And the disease is sin. And here we live in this community. Are boys and girls doing that? Sure they are. Because it's okay. Because we worship the goddess Ashtaroth. We're in trouble. And God's anger was hot against them. You're going to be amazed at what goes on here. You know? Look at this. Moreover, the children in verse 9 of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. Oh my gosh, the enemy came onto their property and is taking over their property. Do we have to wait that long? I always wonder. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you, both because we have forsaken our God and served Balaam. They cried out to God and said, we have sinned against you. Man, it's hard here. We're in trouble. People are dying of AIDS. We've got rampant weird diseases. We've got murders going on at schools. We are out of control. And God, we've sinned against you. Oh my gosh, we need some help. And God says to the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonians and also the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you. You cried to me and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet, after all I've done for you, you have forsaken me. And you have served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. I would like you to see, chapter 10 is a short chapter, but the powerful lessons. The God of intellect, the goddess of sensuality, worship involving child sacrifice, which is our abortion, fertility rights, prostitution, worshiping strange gods, having a day to celebrate it, having a day to where anything goes. That's today. Anything goes. You can dress up, you can be weird. And of course, we're reading the little tips yesterday because, you know, there are some people who believe this. I can't believe it still. Some people believe there's a spark of good in every man. You know, there's something good in people. So the good people write in our paper, here are some tips for trick-or-treaters. Don't eat the candy you're given. Good tip. Great starting point. Why go get it? You know, if we could just think, all right, if I can't eat it, why go get it? No, we want you to go get it. We got to worship somebody, but don't eat it. Because, see, it could be bad for you. Now, they're not worried about the kids' teeth. That's not it. Or that they're going to bing off the walls from the sugar and you're going to have them up all night. That's not the point. What they want is, you don't want them laced with cyanide, which some people do. Or even, I thought LSD was gone, but it's come back and now they're LSD. Take a trip and never leave the farm. You know, the kid just eats it and there they go, wandering around behind the little animals. Poison. Razor blades in certain fruits. Or they shoot the fruits up with ridiculously strong alcohol. Isn't that cute? A little girl dressed like a witch going to go out tonight and possibly get some of that. Don't you love this country? And we as adults, it's just that way. It's just the way it is. Hey, it ought to be different. Somebody stand up and say something. It ought to be different. Another article, I think I'm going to have to write them back or something. Maybe you saw it, about how to get more people in church. You know, churches are just so useless. We're trying to figure out how. Did you guys see that article? How to get people in church. Well, see, churches are boring. And so you got to make them more lively. One guy said he went to an Episcopalian church and they read 43 scriptures. The point being, that's just way too much Bible to give somebody. If you could cut back on that and make it some exciting, people would go to church. What for? That's like going to get candy, but you can't have it. It'll hurt you. And that's where we live. And I'm going, that's it. Is it just me or has somebody weird gotten a hold here? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's I'm having too much caffeine in my rocking chair. It's, you know, and I think, are you guys seeing the same thing or is it only me? Is there something wrong with me? And God says, listen, you call to the gods you serve. I will not help. Whoa, how would you like to be there? You're there. You take a look around you, you're there. And I want to tell you right now, according to Scripture, listen closely, the day of distress in your life will come. It's coming. In my life and in your life, the day of distress is coming. It's a promise because in the New Testament, we read, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And the day of distress in my life is coming, and it's coming in yours. In that day, you know what God Almighty says to you and to me? When the day of your distress comes, you cry out to the God you're serving at that moment. You cry out to the God you are serving. Ooh. Who are you serving? You yourself, me, myself. Who are we serving? Because you'll notice that the people cry out to God and say, help, oh my gosh, we're in trouble, it's ugly, and there's shootings at school, and things are wrong everywhere, and the place is falling apart, and oh God, we've sinned. And what does God say? Call someone who's interested. You didn't expect that response from God, did you? And I would like to submit to you that according to Scripture, if you want, in the day that your distress comes, if you want to be crying out to God, He's saying, walk with me now. You walk with me now. All the playing is finished. Now, all of us sin and we need to repent daily. Some of us minutely. So I'm not suggesting to you that there are a bunch of people sitting in the room, got it all together, they just breeze on through. I don't think that's true. But I am suggesting that there are some who really simply call upon God and they walk with the Lord, their God. You can be one of God's children according to this. and still be worshiping other gods. Now, Jesus says, watch it, because you can't serve two masters. So there's something wrong somewhere. Something is not sitting right somewhere. And the people do cry out, but he says, you call out, I've done everything for you. You continue to walk away from me and do your own thing. So, you call on the ones you want to serve. You want to serve the God of intellect? Turn to your intellect now. You want to serve that the goddess of sexuality, sensuality? You're in trouble. Turn to that goddess now. The trouble is, he says, cry out to the God. Listen, this is what the Bible says. Cry out to the God you have chosen. It's time, I am convinced. Not just for young people. On Monday nights I tell the young people, don't play. Don't play. Get real. Come all the way in and get all the way out. Get real. Because many of us have pretended. You know, you're that halfway in, halfway out. And it doesn't wash. You're miserable. Your life doesn't work. You're always in trouble. You're always in disobedience. You just sort of pretend you're just not there. So we say to the young people, hey, get real. But you know what? It's time, I think, that we say to older people alike, come on. You say, well, I've been a Christian 20 years. Then is it time you got real with your God? It's time. Because, see, adversity is going to come in my life. It's just got to. It happens to all of us. Who will I call out to? I can call out to God, but if I'm worshiping someone else, he's going to say, hey, you call out to the God you've chosen. I've done all for you, but you've turned your back on me. You walked away. I read a story about a pastor visiting a man, and that man, as a Christian, had backslidden for years, and he was in the trash. I mean, his life was an absolute mess. And the pastor was sitting there with him, and they talked about 20 minutes how destructive sin is. And it was pouring rain, lightning and thunder outside. And the man says, I just need some help. I just need help. You know how people who walk away from God, they're miserable, and finally when they come to themselves, they go, I just need help. And so the pastor looked at this man and said, here's what I want you to do. Go outside right now, stare straight up into the sky, and God will give you a revelation. And this man, who was in deep trouble, walked outside. It is pouring rain. Walks outside, he's now getting soaking wet, he stares straight up at the sky, it's pouring in his face. He stays out there almost 10 minutes, he comes back in, he is soaking wet, you know, his clothes are sticking, he comes in, he goes, that is stupid, and it got me nowhere. And the pastor said, see, God just gave you a revelation. Your life is stupid, and it's getting you nowhere. See, all you got to do is go stand in the rain. To see. Sin is stupid and it's getting you nowhere. And the man added this to the pastor. And you know what else? I feel like an idiot. God gave you a revelation. My life, your life, our lives are foolish. And we're getting nowhere if we're living in sin. We're serving gods that are false. And when the day of distress comes, you got to call out to who you serve. And don't you know that the God of intellect, there's no such thing. So nothing's going to help. In that day, you're not going to be able to mentally figure it out. All the cerebral minds in the world aren't going to be able to come together and work this out. All the sensuality you can come up with is not going to work. I don't know where you're at with God, but if the chapter stopped there, I would be nervous. Wouldn't you? Some of you certainly would. Because even as Christians, you're saying right now in your heart, you know, man, I have been playing. I have not been serving God. I have been serving the God of intellect. Instead of trying to listen to God, I've been trying to figure this out with my head. I got a plan, and this is the way I'm going to do it. Businessmen are dangerous when it comes to that. God can't get through, Mr. Businessman. Because he's trying to tell you something, but you have a plan. Listen to him. Government workers are even worse. Because government, you got to have a 5-year plan. And there is no room for God in a 5-year plan. This is it. We are here, our goals. Here are our things. This is where we'll be in 5 years. Then there is no room for God. And you're serving now the God of intellect. You get on the internet or you get into the wrong groups and now you get into this goddess of sensuality. You get so locked into that, there is no way out. Who are you worshiping? Who are you serving? Everybody knows. And the children of Israel cried to the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm not going to listen. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of tribulation. Now, if it ended there, I would panic. But it doesn't end there. Listen, you want to hear grace? Doesn't Satan want you to believe that the God of the Old Testament was a hard, ruthless God, and the God of the New One really just kind of like he was born again or something, and now he's nice? And that's not true. Listen to this. The children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seems good to you. Deliver us only, we pray you, today. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served, the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. That's good news. We have been serving false gods. God says, you go cry out to the God you've chosen. Now, you're seeing the children of Israel regret what they've done, and you're seeing them repent. Many people only regret. Make sense? Read about a man in prison. Pastor was talking to him. Pastor said, when you get out, you got to mend your ways. Are you sorry for what you did? He said, oh, you bet, I'm sorry. I'm a Christian. Well, are you going to change your ways? Yes. Next time I do a job, I'm wearing gloves. He's serious. I'm sorry they caught me, but they won't get fingerprints next time. That's regret. Judas showed regret and had regret, but he didn't repent. That's where a lot of people, I believe, are at today. I also believe that's why lives are powerless in their Christian walk, because they're sorry for what they've done, but there's no repentance for what they've done. There's a difference. I'll show you if I can. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 and 10. Paul says this to the Corinthians. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world, which is regret, worketh death. If you're only sorry for what you did, then all you've got is regret. That's the sorrow of the world. It gets you nowhere. You're going to die. You're in trouble. Now listen closely. This may sound confusing. You can have repentance without sorrow. And you can have sorrow without repentance. You can have repentance without sorrow. You can repent from a sin without sorrow. And you can have sorrow without repentance. Judas was sorry for what he did. He didn't repent. He went out and hanged himself. But he was sorry that he had betrayed innocent blood. And according to the law, he saw what the law was written there in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, as you read through the law. If a false witness gives false testimony and that person is put to death because of it, if it's found out, then he has to die the same death. Jesus was going to be hanged on a tree. Judas, realizing that he had betrayed innocent blood, was sorry and went out and took the law upon himself and hung himself on a tree. But he didn't repent. He was just sorry. Regret or sorrow is usually just having remorse over an act, over something that you did. You're sorry that you did it. Repentance is a real reordering of our lives in Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. Regret, being sorry, is simply showing remorse for what you did. You murdered 3 people. You're found guilty. You're in prison on death row, and I've seen this in the news and heard it on radio. That man or that woman says, you know, I'm sorry for what I did. That's called remorse. I'm sorry for murdering all those people or for stealing that money. I am sorry. But there must be something more. There must be repentance. Repentance is a real reordering of your life. Something not... I can't just be sorry I did this. I must change because of it. People tell me, and this isn't to be mean, but people say, that was a good sermon, if that's what it was. Now, you know how often... I mean, it could be the worst sermon in the world. But people say it because they're polite. And anybody who teaches Bible studies has heard that. Great, a great sermon. You know, I've even asked some of you, did you like that? Yeah, that was great. Tell me what you're going to do different from right now on. Well, nothing. It was a lousy sermon then, wasn't it? If it didn't change my heart, if it doesn't cause me to turn, it was just a nice time. See, godly sorrow worketh repentance, the Bible says, to salvation. Not to be repented of, but sorrow of the world worketh death. If you're just sorry and sorry and sorry and never repent, if there's never a reordering of my life, I'm just going to head to destruction, being sorry the whole way. Have you been living your life that way? Repentance is a real reordering of our lives in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you how to do that. The children of Israel said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seems good to you. Deliver us, we pray thee." And they put away their strange gods from among them. And they served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. You know what that means? God, in effect, his soul was so grieved. Listen closely. This is how merciful a God we serve. He was so grieved that, in effect, what he was saying was, that's it. I can't take their suffering anymore. See, he shares in your suffering. And you get yourself into it. The children of Israel got themselves in there that deep. And God says, "You've rejected me. Call out to the gods that you're serving." But they repented. You'll see real repentance. And God, in effect, is saying, what the Bible says, his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. He couldn't bear it any longer. They are suffering so much, he says, "I can't take it anymore." God looks at you, and when you're really repentant, he says, "Man, I suffer with you. I can't take it anymore." And he's going to deliver them. God is merciful. Do you notice that? But he's not pretending and he's not playing with you and I. This walk has got to become reality. You need to give yourself over to the Lord, and it's got to become real. And you can't fake it. You can't win it. You can't smoke it. You can't, what does the song say? You can't chant to the morning to make it. It can't be done. It's got to be real. I'm going to give you the 3 things that I see here that they've done. How do you repent? Sure, I'm sorry that I got caught doing that. But being sorry, as soon as I need the money again, maybe I'll go steal again. Maybe I'll take hubcaps. Maybe, who knows what I'll do? Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Most of the time, they're sorry that they got caught. Or they feel remorse because, oh well, I did bad. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And as soon as they get another chance, what happens? They do it again. Have you experienced that yet? You say, well, I shouldn't say that about so and so. Then you get another opportunity, you say it again. Where's it coming from? There's been no reordering. Number one, repentance begins with confession. They showed me this when they said this to the Lord. "We have sinned." See that? But then number two, if you say, you know, I'm wrong. I'm just wrong. My life is, I've sinned. Okay, good. Now there's something we can do about it if you listen to the Spirit of God. Number two, submission to God. I mean, submission to Him. To honestly say to Him, listen what they say. You do whatever seems best to you with us. You see that? Let me read it in the King James language. We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seems good unto you. I have sinned. I am your son. I am your child. I am your daughter. So I submit to you. You do whatever you want with me. That is submission to God. So number one, I confess. And number two, I say, now, Lord, do whatever you want with me. If it's send me to my room, then it's send me to my room. They say, do what you want with us, but please help us. Now it's up to God, isn't it? I have submitted to Him. Whatever He does is going to be just fine, isn't it? Even if He leaves me in prison for the next 30 years, right? You won't complain one moment, right? Because you have submitted and you say, Lord, you do whatever seems good to you. Do that with me. That's number two. First you confess, next you submit to Him, and then there's a third part. You take action. And the Bible shows me that when they put away the gods from among them. You see that? First they said, we have sinned. Second, they submitted to Him and they said, do whatever seems best to you with us. And third, they took action. They put away the gods and began to serve Him again. They took action. They're doing something about it. Now, many times you and I say, I'm going to walk with God. And my life isn't what it ought to be. And someone comes along and suggests you do something about it. You're offended and you're ready to rip them to shreds. What? No, no, no. Confess, submit, and action on your part. We have sinned. Do whatever seems best to you with us. And they put away the gods from among them. And God said, in effect, they have repented. I'm watching them. And my soul can't bear the suffering. My soul cannot bear the suffering that they're going through. See, my God, the God I serve, is a merciful God. He never leaves me on my own. What happens is I walk away from Him. From time to time, I decide I'm going to go do my own thing. Oh, I'm so sick of this Christianity. I'm going to go over here. Don't go over there. Just leave me alone. You'll be back, especially if you're mine. And the prodigal son goes over there, and he wastes his life. And when he's about ready to eat with the pigs, the Bible says he came to himself. That means it clicked. And he said, I'm about to eat with pigs. This is low. In my Father's house, the slaves eat better than this. What on the earth must I be thinking? I'll go home. Remember that? And God, when he got home, said, you stink, get out of the house. Get away from here. Yeah, be a servant. No. As a matter of fact, God is so merciful. God doesn't give him time to explain himself. He says, put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, give him a robe. Hose him down first. I added that. Because this son of mine was dead and he's alive. You notice how God doesn't walk away from you, but at any moment of the day, you could walk off from him. And you know what is weird about us? We blame him, don't we? Well, God, why did you let me get into this kind of thing? I know. Look, now I owe big money. If you would have stuck right here. But the good thing is he doesn't tell you, I told you so. He says, come home. You that are weary, come home. And isn't it cool how he lets me get out there and get really super weary? I get out there and I'm wrestling and sweating and straining, and I come to him and say, don't you see I'm worn out? And he goes, well, come on home. Oh, yeah. Okay. Have you really repented? We all need to repent. Confession to God, submission to God, and then taking action in accordance with His will and His word. A reordering of my life. My life's got to change. It's got to change. Must be real. Now, I can't do it alone, but you notice you start taking those steps toward God and He gives you the strength, He gives you the energy, He gives you the willpower, He gives you the ability, He gives you everything you need to listen to Him. And He never yet has let anybody down who said, "I'm walking with you."